National Broadcasting Company presents transcribed another Stan Kenton concert in miniature. Music by a leader and his orchestra who create the freshest and most stimulating ideas in modern American music. Now here is your host and conductor, Stan Kenton.
How do you do, everybody? We hope that you enjoy what is about to take place. We've picked a few compositions that we think will help color up the talk, and we will try to think of a few remarks to color up the music. To start things off, we have to have a theme. We'll have a theme this evening, theme to the West. Composition is a composition with a lot of melody. It's very typically the Hollywood type of music. Theme to the West is a thing that, well, you can close your eyes, imagine any sort of a sequence in a motion picture. A big concert hall, a pianist playing, a fellow practicing in his room by himself. A thing that possibly should have been given to Dave Rose, Frank Duvall, or some gentleman with a string section, but at the moment we did it selfishly with the piano, the brass section, the saxophones, and myself. As I sit here in front of the microphone, talking music, thinking about music, as I most generally do, I remember once a few years ago when I first looked at a microphone and first stepped before one. You know, they're actually pretty quickly come on and the red light is aglow. Then, of course, somehow attention can sweep through you and the monster that is the microphone ceases to look more like a monster than it looked before. Once a few years ago, I was a part of an orchestra. I played piano in this group. The gentleman concerned was a radio announcer, a disc jockey as they're termed. He asked the entire orchestra to come to the radio station to be interviewed and say, each one say hello. He thought that possibly would help our engagement that we were a part of at the moment. And as the trumpet players passed by, the saxophone players passed by, there was a piano player that stepped. Now, everybody, we'd like to have you meet the piano player, Stanley Kent. Like, now we'd like you to meet the drummer, and I stepped out of line, and the drummer came up. I guess all parents are rather fond of what their children do, and of course mine are no exception. I was apart from my father for a number of years, and after the orchestra was started, I was most proud to invite my father to the Hollywood Palladium to hear what I had built, and as a young orchestra leader, I was very proud and very anxious to know his reaction. It was a very crowded Sunday night. He entered. I had a table set aside for him. The head waiter ushered him to the table. He seated himself and proceeded to listen for about an hour before I could get to the table to find out what his reaction would be. A big crowd, a lot of hubbub. I finally ran to the table. I said, "Pop, what do you think of it?" And he says, "Well, I'll tell you one thing." He says, "If that's music, that's the worst bunch of noise I've ever heard in my life." But he says, "The people seem to like it, don't they? Bunch of noise." Thank you. The Kenton Orchestra today is noted mostly for its brass. It's strange to believe in the early days of the orchestra, some 11 years ago when we first got together, the most important thing in the orchestra was the saxophone section, and the brass was used just a little to enhance their sound. Oh, it's not that the saxophones aren't important. They're most important, but we have leaned more and more toward brass all the time. The composition that you heard called Halls of Brass, I guess, might as well be called Halls of Kenton. I love brass. It's always represented a mighty sound to me, and when you take five trumpets, five trombones, four French horns, mix them up and boil them together with cymbals and timpani, you get this composition that, well, we'll get back to my dad, a bunch of noise. Backstage is sometimes a very colorful place. Before a concert, when the curtains are closed, it can be a hubbub of excitement. You'll have musicians warming up. Stagehands are getting light cues. The stage is having its last-minute arrangement. And really, there is a lot of emotion, a lot of excitement. Then gradually, as the curtain opens, and the emotion, instead of being backstage, starts being projected to the people watching the concert. And actually, then, backstage can become a very lonely place. A doorman sits in solitude, and he waits for an intermission. And then, of course, once more, the curtains close, and backstage becomes alive again. The solitude of backstage is a concerto to the warm feeling projected to an audience, a concerto of ours called a concerto to end all concertos.
Woo! Concerto to end all concertos, played for an audience but actually brought about through a discussion of backstage, also makes you think of doormen. I mentioned them. They're very important. The theater is their personality and vice versa, too. There used to be a doorman that worked at the RKO Theater in Boston. His name was Johnny. When we walked in the morning at 10 o'clock to prepare for the first show, Johnny was there with his morning trousers on and his walking suit. A very sharp individual, as we say in this business. Then in the afternoon, he changed clothes again, always immaculate, always with his cigarette holder, a wonderful personality. His name was Johnny. In Indianapolis, there was another doorman who worked at the Circle Theater. We used to call him Pop, too. He'd been there years. He sat at the door, watching, taking care of his job, and all over one side of the wall were pictures of every known celebrity in show business. He was very proud of those pictures. They all said, "To Pop, dear Pop," all sorts of affection written on these pictures. Doormen are very colorful performers in their day. Most of them were performers. Most of them came from the music business or from show business. They love to talk about the old days, and mostly they love to talk about the people that they know now, and they love people to know them. Many things could be said about doormen. Maybe someday somebody will write a book.
Thank you.
Street of Dreams was a very fitting composition to conclude the discussion of doormen. As I say, someday there'll be a wonderful book written about them because there is certainly a wealth of material there. The music business of which this program is quite concerned consists of many people besides musicians and composers. The business could not exist without secretaries, managers, personal managers and road managers, truck drivers, record salesmen, instrument manufacturers, and so forth. And it's been said many times that those of us in music, or any art, hardly get out of it, we'll say, materialistically, what we put into it. But it is because of the love for music that we all are a part of this business. It's rather comical sometimes when a manager is in a box office trying to straighten up the box office receipts and has one ear on the stage and one on the money changer. It's rather wonderful the way a truck driver or a bus driver will watch the engagement of an orchestra. A lot of interest, a lot of concern. How many people came? Did they like the music? And it's amazing the number of times that they will come up and inform us as to a desire of theirs or a suggestion. It's a great business, the music business. We want, through this program, to bring you people a lot closer to the color in this business. The things that we have spoken of, things that happen that you couldn't notice just witnessing it from the front. We hope, most of all, that you people have enjoyed it, and we hope that we have brought you this color to help you understand and feel the thing that you love just as we love very much, music. So until next time, this is Stan Kenton saying thank you very much, and if you've enjoyed it again, let me say it's our pleasure. Good night, everybody.
NBC has brought you another Stan Kenton concert. Tonight's program, transcribed, came to you from New York. Fred Collins speaking. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.